There are people around the world that they struggle to go to church. They might walk for 4 hours to go to church. They might face oppression to go to church. You know how blessed we are, how privileged we are to be able to meet freely in this place. And I'm so thankful for every one of you. Are you going to run the slides for me too? Okay. I think you should have a handout. Hopefully you have one. If not, you can raise your hand and somebody can get you one, a handout sheet. Fill in the blanks. That's just basically a gimmick. It's to help you focus so that your mind doesn't wander off somewhere else. We're going to talk about the power of the tongue, and I know Jason has shared a lot about the tongue repeatedly, and hopefully this won't be redundant, but this has been on my mind a lot this past week, and honestly, this comes out of my own time with God and my own personal spiritual growth, because I was raised a certain way, and I found that as I became an adult, I forgot some of the things that I was raised on, and I found my speech being different than I was raised, and I'll get into that a little more later as we go. And I've been challenged, so this is my challenge, and I'm just sharing it with you. And it's something God has been working with me on and reminding me of my roots and where I came from and what I was taught. So we're going to talk about the power of the tongue. Now, our Western culture, for the most part, we don't take our words very seriously, do we? We really don't. We're flippant with our promises. And we don't really think too much about the negative things that we say. We kind of throw them out too, sometimes as a joke, sometimes just because everyone else is doing it. I don't know. But we have to understand that in biblical times, words were considered to be extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. There were certain things like a father's blessing that he would put over his kids, and all it was words. There's nothing written down, there's no contract. But they believed in biblical times, they believed that your words were as binding. More binding even than we see a contract, you know, in a court of law. If you've signed your name, it's binding. They believed your words were every bit as powerful for good or evil. And they were taken very, very, very seriously. So I want to look at the power of our words. We have a scripture in Proverbs 12:18. This is from the NIV. There's a few different translations that I'm going to be referring to. Some are more modern translations. Some are more traditional translations. You can look them up and cross-reference them if you like. But I've kind of, I like to read. In fact, I like to read through the Bible. I used to try to do it in a year, and that was too much pressure. I couldn't get through it, and then I wouldn't absorb what I was reading. And so now I just read through. I just keep a bookmark. And I like to read in a different translation every time. And I think it kind of gives you an overall view and a perspective of what the words really meant. Let's read Proverbs 12:18 out of the NIV. It says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Now, I think all of you, probably every one of you, can remember a time in your life when someone said something to you that was very cutting and very hurtful. You remember that time? Anybody? Okay. Now, some of us may be able to remember a time when someone said something really encouraging and really inspired us. Can you think of something? It might be harder to remember. Can you remember something like that in your past? We're less likely to remember encouragement over criticism. We just are. The truth is, we can hear 100 encouraging words. We hear one cutting remark, and it's almost like all those 100 wonderful things just disappear. You know, am I the only one who feels this way? Y'all agree? Okay, now, here's another thing. Look at this scripture. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's a reference in Job, talks about the scourge of the tongue. Modern day phrase for that might be a tongue lashing. You know? Okay, so even in our culture, even as flippantly as we use our words, even we understand the hurting power, the cutting power of words, don't we? And a lot of times we latch on to those cutting words, kind of like a baby. Now, I'm probably going to use a lot of motherly references. I'm a mother of four, so that's my life. But I think of when you get a little newborn baby and you get that bottle in their mouth. Have you ever tried to pull a bottle out of a baby's mouth? And it's like, they're just sucking onto it for dear life, you know. That's kind of what we do. We tend to latch on to those cutting negative things that people have said to us, don't we? Like a baby. We just, you know, we suck it up. Okay, now people can come and they can even ask for forgiveness Or maybe you've said something cutting or hurtful to someone and then you realize that was horrible. And you go and you try to make it right. And, you know, asking for forgiveness can heal and it can restore. But there's something about when you have a hurtful word and it's said, it's really, if not impossible, extremely difficult to take it back. Now, Jesse, I need you for a minute. You come up here. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. I work with kids a lot. I want you to squeeze all of the toothpaste out of this tube onto the plate. Can you do that for me? Squeeze it all out. You know you all want to do this. You all want to take a tube of toothpaste and squeeze it all out. Like popping a pimple. There, good job. Squeeze it all out. Getting it? Okay, he's got most of it out. All right, he's got the toothpaste on there. Now do me another favor. Put it back in. Go ahead, just put it back in the tube. Get it back in. I had wet wipes up here because I know he's going to need them, and somebody stole my wet wipes. So he's going to put them in, put it back. It doesn't work so good, does it? You don't think you can get it back in? Okay, thank you, Jesse. Give him a hand. He's a good sport. Look, when we say cutting things, it's kind of like a tube of toothpaste. We can try to make it right, but once they're out, it's really hard to take them back, isn't it? Okay, so in your blanks, in your handout, here's what you can fill in. My words can cut and maim. Maim meaning what? Maim. What's a good definition? Dismember or destroy or cripple. But they can strengthen and heal. They have the power to do both. They can cut and maim, or they can strengthen and heal. There's much more to what we say than we realize. Now, I mentioned how I was raised. When I was a kid, I was in church, oh my goodness, twice on Sunday and usually every night of the week except one, because we traveled from church to church and did a lot of revival meetings, and my dad preached and we sang as a family. And so I was in church 7 to 8 times a week at least. And, you know, other people think, I mean, there are people that drag themselves to church once a week and think that's a huge deal. And I was in church all the time. But, you know, I never thought of it as a drudgery. And I think a lot of it was because of my dad's words. Every time we get ready to go to church on Sunday, Dad would say, "Aren't we blessed? We get to go to church." It wasn't, "Come on, kids, we have to go to church." It was, "We get to. This is exciting. We get to go." And I grew up, Sunday was my favorite day. It was the busiest day. It wasn't relaxing, but I enjoyed it. There was an atmosphere and a spirit there that I just loved. And I think a lot of that was shaped by my parents, because to them, and I know they didn't always feel like going. There were times Mom really struggled with laryngitis. She had a period of a few years where her throat was always filled up. And I know it wasn't always easy for her to go to church and sing when her throat was sore. But they, for the most part, they weren't perfect, but for the most part, they really wanted us to see it as a privilege. This is something we get to do. We're excited to do this. And it built something within me. Now, there's much more to what we say than what appears to be on the surface. Now, we understand the power of words to hurt, you know, that we get that part. But there's a lot about words that we don't get, and that's what I want to delve into this morning. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's pretty powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Matthew 12:36-37 is even more pointed. It says, this is Jesus saying, "I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow, did you realize your words were that strong? In the spiritual realm, that you have the power of death or life in your tongue. And actually, it even goes beyond that. We're talking not just the power to hurt somebody. We're talking about actually in the spiritual sense, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. This is what you're going to be facing on Judgment Day. What came out of your mouth? This is pretty serious stuff. Our words are heavily, heavily involved in spiritual warfare. I don't think we think of it that way. We do have an enemy. Are you aware of that spiritually? Did you know we have an enemy that we are fighting against? The prince of the power of the air, the adversary, the accuser. That's what the word Satan means, is accuser. And we are fighting against him, and we don't realize how much, how significant our words are in that area of spiritual warfare. Here's something that you may not realize. Satan cannot do to us what we do not give him permission to do. He can't. Our words can give him a foothold whether we realize it or not. Now I'm going to refer, I don't know if you have this on in the slideshow. I'm going to refer to Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. And it's as an example. Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So he's pointing out that if you let anger not be checked, if you don't keep anger under the control of the Holy Spirit, you're going to end up giving Satan a foothold. You know what that means? The foot in the door. You're trying to push him out, and he sticks his toe in the door so he can weasel his way in. Okay, uncontrolled anger is a foot in the door, and he's got you. I will take this a step further. I believe our words often give him a foot in the door. They give him a little bit of a permission. You don't even realize that you're giving him access into areas you don't want him to have access in. But here's the positive thing. Our words can also invite God to work on our behalf. God is a gentleman. He doesn't push and shove and force his way into areas he's not wanted. He stands at the door and he knocks and he waits for you to open it. Okay? And so our words can actually empower God. Not that he doesn't have the power, but they can invite him. He's willing. He's ready. He's waiting for you to just say something. Okay? You invite him in to work on your behalf. An example of this is Romans 10:10. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. It is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Now, I don't know how many of you were taught, you know, you just have to believe in Jesus. You just have to believe in Jesus. There's a little more to it than that. You believe in your heart, but you also confess with your mouth. There's power in confession, and that needs to be done. When you confess with your mouth, it says, it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Did you realize how powerful your words are? So here's your other blank you can fill in. My words can give Satan a foot in the door, or they can work with God to bring me victory in my life. God brings us the victory, but he's waiting for us to believe on him and to do what he said to do and to speak his words. Okay, so my words can give Satan a foot in the door, or they can work with God to bring me victory in my life. Psalm 34, 12 through 14 in the New Living says, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Does anybody here want to live a long life that is prosperous? Do you want to? He's going to tell us how. This is the secret to success. Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Did you realize that your words can actually help you in the thing that you want, a long life that's prosperous? 1 Peter 3, 10 through 11 is actually quoting the one I just read. This is the New Testament writer, Peter, quoting Psalm 34. This is out of the New King James. This is a more traditional translation. He who would love life and see good days, do you want to love life? Do you want to see good days? Okay, he says, here's what you do. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Our words can actually, did you know this? Our words can actually determine whether or not we will have success in this life. Did you realize that? I don't think we have, because if we did, we'd probably be changing what we were saying. Good things. Here's something I heard someone else say. Good things never happen by accident. When I say accident, what comes to your mind? Car wreck or something horrible, right? Good things don't come by accident. We tend to wait around and wait for some good thing to flop in our lap. It doesn't really work that way. Good things never come by accident. Accidents are usually bad. Good things happen on purpose, and they have to be fought for. Because we're living in a fallen, sinful world, good things don't come automatically. They are done on purpose, and they are fought for. All right, let's look at what the problem is. All right, we know now the power of our words, and here's the thing. There is a solution. We're going to get into this. Let's look at what the problem is, because if we can identify the problem, why we tend to say the things we don't want to say, then we can find the solution, right? Okay, let's look at Psalm 39, 1 through 3. I'm going to read this out of the New Living, and tell me if you identify with this at all. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. Have you ever said that? I'm not just going to watch it. I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm going to watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. You understand what that's like? Have you ever been there? Here's the thing. Just saying nothing will not work for very long. Just shutting up usually ends up creating what I call the volcano effect. Okay, you know what I mean by a volcano? How does a volcano form? Pressure and pressure and pressure inside. And it all looks nice. It's like Mount St. Helens. It's beautiful and people are camping on it. And all this pressure is building up inside. And then one day, there's no more room for any more pressure. And it goes what? Okay? That's kind of what happens when we say, I'm just going to shut up. I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be quiet. I laughed when I read this because I thought, yeah, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Okay, so what's the problem? Why can't we keep a lid on it? Why can't we just say, I'm just going to shut up. Just not going to say anything. Never works. Here's the answer, and I know you know this scripture. Jason shared this a lot. Matthew 12, 34 through 35. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Here's what you can fill in. If I want my words to change, I need my heart to change. That's sometimes kind of ouchy. Because quite frankly, what comes out of our mouth is really just a reflection of what we've been putting in our heart. That's not pretty sometimes. And I, quite frankly, that's hard to swallow. Because there are times when I lose my temper, I yell at my kids. I'm always careful not to say anything cutting or hurtful because I know how bad that can be, but I still yell at them and say things I probably shouldn't say, you know, and I go back and I think, oh, that's not easy to say, wow, what have I been putting in my heart that came out? But you know, Jessica and I have been talking about this. We got to clean up her room before Christmas. It hasn't been cleaned up for 4 years. And we've been talking about how, you know, sometimes you have to make a mess to clean up a mess. You pull everything out and it looks worse than it did before. But you know, you sort through, you clean out, you fix it. It's worth it. If I want my words to change, I need my heart to change. Here's your next blank. My negative words need to be replaced. You can't just say, I'm just going to get rid of them. They have to be replaced. Now, like I mentioned, I have had four babies. And, you know, it's hard to get back in shape after having one, let alone four. And, you know, there's some little tips that you can get. Some people say, replace what you eat. Rather than say, I'm just not going to eat any more sugar. I'm just not going to eat any more dessert. I'm not going to snack. I'm not going to do this. That never works. So the encouragement, and I've actually found this is really helpful in when you're trying to eat healthier and lose a few pounds, to actually replace what you eat. For example, instead of eating a piece of cake for dessert, have a bowl of fresh fruit with a little honey on it or something like that. Instead of eating a candy bar, oh, I have that hankering at 10 o'clock at night. I want a candy bar so bad. You know, buy some granola bars. You know, so replacing something destructive or unhealthy with something healthy and good actually is a little more effective, actually a lot more effective than just, I'm just not going to do it. Okay, so we need to repeat. I'm going to repeat to you. We need to replace our negative words. Okay, the solution. Are you glad to get into the solution? All right, we're going to be positive now. Unfortunately, in the solution, there is no magic pill. The truth is, negativity is the pill. Anyway, there's no magic pill. Let's imagine if you're going to Shadron. You've got to get some shopping done. You've got to get Christmas shopping done. You've exhausted all the stores here in Gordon. There's just stuff you need that's not here. And so you have to go on a Saturday because you work all week. And so that means you have to take the kids with you. So you go to Shadron, you buckle all the kids in, you go to Shadron, you go to Walmart, and it's a zoo, and you knew it would be a zoo, but you didn't know it would be this bad. And you go through the store, and they don't have the sweater that you wanted to get your mom, so you have to get something else, or they didn't have her size. And then your kids are yelling at you, we're hungry, we're hungry, we're hungry. Just a minute, just a minute. Okay, we're going to go. And then, oh, there's the toys, and the kids go crazy. No, 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 you can't have that. You know, oh, we're hungry, we're hungry. And you go, and you finally have stuff that you need. You didn't get everything you want, but you'll get the rest online. And so you pile the kids in the cart. We're hungry, we're hungry. And so you go in line, and there's six people in front of you, and they've got their carts full. And then there's that little flat, you know, you get in the line with a little flashing light. That means somebody's got a check that didn't go through or something. And you're like, oh, and your kids are hanging on you and pulling candy bars off the shelf. We're hungry, we're hungry. And so you get out of the checkout line and you haul the kids to the van and you buckle them in and the kids are screaming at you, we're hungry, we're hungry. And so finally you, oh, fine. You go to McDonald's and you go through the drive-thru and your kids are screaming at you, we're hungry, we're hungry. And you don't care that you just spent $500 at Walmart. You're going to pay another $30 for those Happy Meals. Why? Because you're desperate. Okay? The solution only comes when you're that desperate. Okay? You see the connection? You gotta want this badly. There's no magic wand to wave over your head and make you this positive, wonderful person. You have to be desperate. So let's see, what is the solution? Isaiah 50. Verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The learned is just a fancy word for the wise, the educated. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Do you want to have that? Do you want to know what to say to those who are weary? You want to have the right word at the right time. He says, the Lord has given me that. How? He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. It's a beautiful verse. Psalm 27:8, I love the way it's put in the New Living. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. If we want our words to work with God in accomplishing victory in our lives, we need to know how he thinks, how he works, and how he talks. We can only know this by pouring ourselves into his words on a daily basis. Psalm 37, verse 30 to 31 says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So where is the beginning of this? Where's the solution? Pouring ourselves into God's word, not just on Sunday morning, if we can make it and we don't have a headache. Okay, this is a daily reading your word, and not just reading it, but you know, there's a verse in Psalms, and I can't remember the reference. It just came to my head. A lot of times, I will pray this when I go to open my Bible. Open my, I know it's Psalm 119. Remember which verse? There's a lot of verses in Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Good prayer to pray before you open your Bible. God, open my eyes and show me the wonderful things in your word. I want to see them. As you read God's word, ask him to reveal it to you personally and to lead you to scriptures that will pop out of you. Just jump off the page and say, this is yours. This is for you. So here's your next blank. My words will become powerfully positive by knowing God's word, by knowing it inside and out. If I spend daily time with God, I will begin to reflect the way he talks. Now, this is a process. This isn't something that happens overnight. And you don't get frustrated with yourself, because you'll start this process and, you know, it almost gets worse. Again, it's like cleaning out the bedroom. You know, it almost gets worse before it gets better. Because what happens is you begin to be aware of the thing. Because you start pouring yourself into God's words, you know what's right, but there's still a training process on your own mouth. And so you begin to be more aware of the things you're saying that are negative and hurtful. And it can almost be more discouraging. Don't get discouraged. Keep pushing yourself into the word. As you know his word, you spend daily time with him, you will begin to reflect the way God talks. Psalm 45:1 says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. This is a beautiful piece of poetry right here. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Isn't that beautiful? That God he's composing something within you. You are his composition. And the words that you speak are the poetry that God speaks through you. Just get that picture in your head that you are his poetry. That's what he wants you to be. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I know you are all familiar with this one. Most of you are. We've heard this a lot, but let's really focus on what it's saying. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen from me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, I'm repeating to you, negative words cannot simply be removed. They need to be replaced with God's positive words. What we dwell on within our heart is what will come out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You put God's word in you in abundance, it's going to begin to come out. Like I say, it's not an overnight deal. It's a process, but it'll begin to happen. So here's your blank. My words will become powerfully positive when my mind and heart are filled with godly things. As I fill my mind and my heart, and actually it kind of goes in a process. You fill your mind with it and it gets into your heart. And the neat thing about getting into your heart is that's a whole lot harder to get rid of. When it clicks down in your heart and it finally becomes a part of your spirit, then it's really hard to pull that out. Even when your mind is weak and your mind isn't going where it needs to go, when it's in your heart, that takes over. So when my mind and my heart are filled with godly things. All right, I'm going to close with this idea. I've been talking a lot about your words. I want to focus for just a bit. I'm going to try not to take too long because I know we're over time. That maybe you can recall times when people have said hurtful things to you and those words have haunted you. We aren't quite that squeamish in our scientifically Western culture. But in Bible times, when somebody pronounced a negative thing over you, it was considered a curse. It just was. They spoke a curse over you. And I don't know if that's something way to look at it. You know, think of that negative thing that was said over you and say, you know, that was a curse. Because for one, if you look at it that way, Galatians says, we have been redeemed by the curse of the law. We are not the cursed. If your life is in Christ and you have accepted Christ into your heart, you are not the cursed. You are the blessed. So I want to focus on a couple of scriptures to give you victory on when you can't always prevent negative words from coming at you. All right, they happen. They're in the world. They're going to happen. What do you do with it? You know, do you let it cripple you? How do you handle that? I believe we do not have to be under the bondage of negative words spoken to us by others. We are more than conquerors through Christ, and we don't have to be under that kind of bondage. Satan will use negative words to tear us down, to fill us with fear, or to pronounce doom over us. We must fight these words with the knowledge, truth, and righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment," and that tongue can be someone else's words, it can even be your own thoughts in your head, Satan pummeling you with lies, "but every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." This is a great scripture to hang on to when these negative thoughts are hitting you and you can't forget what that person said or what you feel in your head or what you the condemnation feel. If your life is in Christ, he says, if you're my servant and you're righteous before me because you have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, these words have no effect. No weapon formed against you will prosper. So here's your last blank. My words, when they become God's words, have the power to demolish strongholds and defeat Satan's attacks on my life. That should excite some people. That should get you excited. All right. So we know the power of words, and here's my final thing. If our words are that powerful, think we've established how strong our words can be. How much more are God's? How much greater are the words of God? You know, we all have probably six of these floating in our house. But have we taken them? Have we read them? Have we filled our heart with it and let God's words set us free? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that you have put your word in us, as your word says, like earthen vessels, God, that we carry your words in our heart, Lord. And I thank you that we have the freedom to read your word and to let it fill our mind and our heart, God, that we don't have to be under the bondage of negative things said to us. God, we don't even have to be in bondage to our own tongue. We don't have to be negative. We don't have to be hurtful. God, that as we fill our life with your word and let your spirit transform our heart and our mind, God, that we can be a reflection of you and we can share words that heal and bring strength to the weary. God, and I know we all want to do that. We want to be able to say the right word at the right time to lift up and encourage the weary and the hurting. And so, Father, I thank you that you are transforming us into your image as we look at you and we focus upon your Son. God, that you said that you would transform us into your image from glory to glory. We thank you for these things in your name.